May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. People are drawn to goodness at every level. I'm sure we are all witnesses to this. A good cup of tea. You always hear things like, I had a good cup of tea, or a good cup of coffee, or a good wine, a good restaurant, a good service, a good sermon, a person of good character, and a good conversation with a good friend. During our days in Edinburgh, we had some friends in the congregation who belonged to Pudding Club. And what they would do is, at the end of the summer, I don't know if we'll try it out here in St. John's, so that you bring pudding from your different travels. You prepare the pudding, and then we'll test the pudding. And so you have people who were specialists in that Pudding Club. So they will prepare, they can tell you which pudding is good. I don't know the criteria for that. But you have good pudding as well. The word good has drawn so many forms of meanings. And even if you look at the dictionary, you'll see that there are multifarious meanings attached to being good. And philosophers over the centuries, they've also wrestled with the whole idea of what it means to be good. They've constantly come up with different interpretations. For some, good is the acquisition of knowledge. And for others, it is this basic principle: doing unto others as you will have them do unto you. For some, they will say something is good if it has the greatest benefit for the greatest number of people. So in that case, it is good. And for others, something is good if you find pleasure. And good also means avoiding pain. All of these, in many ways, so I would suggest, are human-focused definitions of goodness. Real goodness is God-centered, and we'll see that in a moment. This is our sixth sermon in our series based on the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, is kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We have consistently mentioned that it is called the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. And so, it does not leave us with the option of picking and choosing. Once you are in, you are in. It does not leave us with an option to say, you know, I really like patience. Patience is my thing. I'm very good at patience, but, you know, I'm not good. You know, I don't see any reason to be joyful. I don't like peace, but, you know, I like kindness. It is fruit that comes in a pack. So, and the good thing about this is that it is not something we do on our own. It is something that the Holy Spirit works out in our lives because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit goodness means doing good in thought, in word, deed, in a way that promotes godliness. So that godliness is key. It is goodness in true love to others, not just to be helpful to them in the now, in this life, but it is also being nice and good and generous to people with eternity in perspective. So you're not just thinking about people feeling good now. You are also concerned about eternity. So eternity is always held in perspective. Goodness starts with God. God is good and full of goodness. In Psalm 34, verse 8, we read that the Lord is good. I remember once when I preached and I said, in case I say the Lord is good, we could say all the time. The Lord is good all the time. So the Bible says that the Lord is good. God's goodness is expressed in creation. The fantastic and majestic skies we see, the trees, the mountains, oceans, and the universe. When I first arrived in Scotland in 2006, I arrived in September. And about then, the leaves on the tree were still on. And I used to walk through Inverlet Terrace, through Inverlet Park, to Cumley Bank, where our church then was. And I used to like, you know, walking under the greeny trees. And suddenly, as the winter started entering into the winter, the leaves were going off. And I remember that was my first experience. I got so concerned. I was like, why are all these trees dying away? What's going on with all these trees? It felt like they were all dying away because they looked so dry. It was as if there was hopelessness on the trees. Of course, you won't blame me. That was my first experience. I never knew anything about winter before then. And suddenly, as we entered into spring, the leaves started coming back again and again and again. You can see the beauty of God's goodness in creation. If you look at your life, you can see your picture when you were 1 year, and look at your picture now. And to think about all the experiences you've had in life, to see how God has been by your side, even when it felt as though the end had come, God was always there to uphold you. That's God's goodness. We cannot take it for granted. God's goodness is also expressed in redemption. Because of sin, there is nothing good we bring to the table in our relationship with God. Therefore, we cannot on our own approach God. But there's a good news. And the good news is that God reached down to us despite our sins. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived a perfect life on earth. He died on the cross of Calvary for our sins and was raised again to life so that our sins might be forgiven and that we may enjoy eternal fellowship with God. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness, means to embrace God and not our own propensity for good behavior. It means we draw strength for goodness from God, not on our own. God instructs us to be good by hating what is evil, clinging to what is good, overcome evil with good, and actively involve ourselves in sharing God's news, in sharing God's good news with others. In the Bible, we read about Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And at the time he was supposed to revenge, he said to them, "You did not send me here, but God sent me ahead of you that I may preserve life." Goodness is being generous even to our enemies, those who persecute us. David, at the time he had the opportunity to kill Saul, he did not. He said, "Touch not the anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Dorcas was also a Bible character, and many more in the Bible. They were able to grow in God's goodness and demonstrated it by their lives, in spite of their struggles and challenges. One may say that the challenges of the Bible time, they are different from ours. Indeed, perhaps it is, but they also had their peculiar challenges. For the sake of Christ, many were and are still involved in missionary works, like our sister Kirsten, Anne, and others who have been involved in missionary works at home and abroad. Others are involved in prison ministries, building of hospitals, digging of wells in places without fresh water, or reaching out to those with disabilities. And still on the art of goodness, on 25th May, and I hope Iris will permit me to report this, there was a report, a provisional figure of 12,622.92 pounds that was raised by churches together during the Christian Aid. It's just amazing. I was personally blown off when I saw people, Margaret and others, carrying, you know, buckets from one door to the other. That was just amazing. Why would we do that? Perhaps we can see some serious elements of goodness in those acts. And over the years, Kaluk, as a town, has raised thousands of pounds in support of Christian Aid. Indeed, there are many Christian lives filled with goodness that few may see and be aware of. And we can see that even in our congregation here in St. John's. For example, in William Carey's decades of missionary work in India, he was the foremost missionary to India. He had a bedridden sister, and the story says she was completely paralyzed. And the name was Polly. Polly, for 52 years, faithfully prayed for William, for his missionary work in India. What a woman of faith, Polly. She never allowed her physical disability paralyze her prayer life. So you might not be in the field, but you can do something. God has given each and every one of us a song, something to do in support of the kingdom work. Polly never allowed her physical disability to paralyze. Although she could not walk for 52 years with her legs, she was bedridden. But she was praying every day for the brother. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness, shows itself in our thoughts, in our words, in our deed of care, and love and prayer, and support for others in their needs, and especially in the advancement of the gospel. Having said all of this about goodness, goodness as a fruit of the Spirit may not mean being nice to everyone all the time. And I think this is where the challenge is. This means then, for example, we may not be demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, when we approve in someone's life what is morally wrong, what is contrary to God's will and law. The reality is, we need to be able to admonish and confront one another in love. And love here is really important. When seeing behaviors or practices which are not godly or helpful to others. This, I suppose, for me, and I suppose maybe for many here, is a real challenge. It's a real challenge, especially in our day of relativism, political correctness and incorrectness, and the popular false view of there being no absolute standard regarding anything anymore. Again, we also have a real challenge here in terms of goodness. And the challenge is that too often, we can choose to be men pleasers rather than God pleasers. Jesus Christ, our perfect example for all the different fruit of the Spirit, remains our model and definition of goodness. He sits at the throne of God, eager to help us in our lives. And so we are not on our own. We can fall back to him. We may make mistakes, but we have an advocate who is speaking on our behalf. It's not a journey we embark on our own. He is constantly by our side to help us. Just like toddlers who are learning how to walk, they may fall, but the adults are always there to help them stand again. Let us all use Christ's example and help to strive to truly grow in the fruit of goodness. Living in submission and service to God as revealed in Christ is not something awful, but something awesome. It is not something burdensome, but something beautiful. It is not something to escape and evade, but something to embrace and something to enjoy. And we can do this not by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.